You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, what can something which is inside your mouth right now tell you about your health or lack of it? The next wave of smart dashboards in cars will blow you away. Could Johnny Depp's portrayal of Whitey Bulger be his command performance? Manny the Movie Guy joins us live. Let's meet the friends. He has a 2-foot by 3-foot poster of Air Force One hanging over his headboard. It's Chris Martin.
We have decided that we won't be talking about last night's GOP debate. Up next, I'll tell you the most interesting thing about last night's GOP debate.
He has discriminating taste when it comes to story selection, and that's about as far as it gets. The host of the new show, Thrash Pie Radio, coming to a podcast outlet near you. It's Ted Thrash Pie Pritchard.
Hey, let's talk about Atlantic City. You guys talking no fat chicks in Atlantic City. That's my headline, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a 5-star review. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks over at iTunes, and, you know, they run the show, don't they? They read your comments and notice your 5-star reviews. And don't forget, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. But what do you say we get things started? And Chris, thank you very much for being here today, buddy. We're not talking about the debates.
We are talking about the debate. How could you not talk about the debate? It's one of the most talked about things in the world right now.
It is. It seems like it's the only thing in the news.
And the only thing in the news. Mm-hmm. A little disappointing.
Nothing else is going on?
Definitely one of the most talked about things. We're going to take it from a different angle, though, Phil. You know, last night's primetime GOP debate averaged 23 million viewers.
Hey, it was on CNN?
Yeah, on CNN.
CNN doesn't get that many viewers in a year.
No. And funny you say that because it actually makes it the most watched program in CNN's history.
Yeah. Of course it is.
Not surprising.
By like 7 million
on a huge
viewers,
night. Anderson Cooper 360, whatever that show is. A huge night. That's their biggest rated show. The Dalai Lama and the Pope arm wrestling. He'll get 1.5 million viewers.
Right.
You said 23 million?
Right. 23 million. That's just a million short of Fox's presentation of the first GOP debate.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say the million viewer spread is, that could be attributed to anything. Some people are saying maybe because it was an hour longer.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because I think my guess is they started dropping viewers about 45 minutes into that thing.
Go ahead.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's possible.
I don't disagree with you, but is there a reason for that?
Well, sure, it gets boring after a while.
Right.
When Trump goes off the screen and
blather
he's not
fatigue.
Saying stupid stuff.
Isn't that a political term? That's blather fatigue.
You're right. Because at the end of the day, we're tuning in for what could be fireworks from Trump's involvement in this, and yet it does turn into politicians talking politics very quickly, doesn't it?
Very quickly. Yeah. And my whole point about that thing was that it was a combined effort to discredit the Donald and move on with politics.
Oh, they could do it. I mean, if they make a concerted effort of it, these guys are tacticians at politics.
They're doing
Trump
it.
Trump is not. He's a good businessman, but
I'm a terrific businessman.
Yeah,
he's terrific,
and he's huge.
Yeah.
Well, just for a quick comparison. The Democratic debate, which was on CNN in 2008, averaged just over 8 million viewers.
Yeah, and that's a huge night for CNN.
CNN's highest rated show ever prior to this was
the
1993 episode of Larry King Live with Al Gore and Ross Perot debating the North American Free Trade Agreement.
There you go.
Wow.
Which was 16.8 million viewers.
That was
viewers.
The one where Perot said that giant sucking sound.
Yeah,
here,
that's right.
Man. NAFTA.
So now they're at NFL level ratings, thanks to the whole crew. Trump's not the only one drawing ratings. You got a pretty
eclectic
group up there.
You know, they'll enjoy the tailwind of this success for a couple of weeks, because about 15 million or so of those viewers said, "What is this CNN thing?"
Right.
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 I don't have this on my basic cable.
A lot of people don't know. I mean, as ubiquitous as CNN seems to us in the media, I don't know that it necessarily is across the country to the average Joe. But they make all their money not off of their advertising revenue or their viewership. They make their money because wherever you are, you have a Time Warner cable or you have Bob's cable house system or whatever it is. Those companies pay CNN a fee per subscriber. So if Time Warner Cable in Los Angeles has 4 million subscribers, then they pay whatever CNN's negotiated rate is,
exactly,
times 4 million. And so CNN makes a huge amount of money, whether anybody watches them or not.
You're stuck with the basic cable with CNN as part of it.
Yeah.
It comes.
So out of your $100 a month fee, maybe $12 of it goes to CNN directly.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. They can't lose.
No.
What a deal.
I know it. Mm-hmm. But what are they going to do with success, with ratings?
Probably having a party today, buddy, because they know it's almost over.
Yeah, I know. All right, fine. That's all we're going to talk about the debate. See, yes. Didn't we cover all the good stuff?
Done.
But yeah, that's it. I don't think anybody cares about anything else.
Yeah, all right. Here's what we really care about. People have been asking for this for a long time in their Facebook experience, Chris.
Yes, you're right. They have. It's the dislike button. But I don't... apparently a lot of people have been asking for a dislike button, which right now you have the thumbs up, now dislike, right, thumbs down. I don't fully understand why, but it was announced on a recent live stream that Facebook is working on a dislike button.
Do you like that idea, or do you dislike it?
I dislike the idea of it. Mark Zuckerberg said that he was finally softened to the request because people convinced him that like, which I say in quotation marks, doesn't fit every status update, like maybe death or family crisis, something like that. But I don't see how disliking something like that gives a different perspective on it. Like, oh, my uncle passed away. You don't dislike that.
No. I'm just wondering what Facebook does with dislike information, because they're gathering that just like they gather all the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, but it's not their place to say, you know what, you're just pissing people off. We're going to cancel your account.
Well, maybe not, but they're going to look at your individual likes and dislikes and therefore be able to tailor the messages that they send to you.
Oh, well,
see what I'm saying?
There could be.
Data collection.
There's always a data collection angle behind everything Facebook does.
Correct.
Yeah, well, they're the monsters of data collection. I do want to throw a little twist on this, though. While Mark Zuckerberg said, it's important to give people more options to help express empathy and sympathy, mm-hmm, a lot of the people over at Facebook are saying it's not actually going to be a dislike button. They're saying Zuckerberg's not a fan of even the word dislike. They're saying it could be more like a sympathize button or solidarity button or a variety of buttons that you can use to show. Facebook wants to encourage civil interaction.
Now it's going
to
turn into a mood ring. You know, how does this post make you feel?
It'll be a whole selection of emojis.
All right. So what Phil brought up a little earlier before we got into this discussion was that you can go on and dislike a business's page, ruin them, and then one fell swoop.
Good question. I wasn't able to find the answer on whether or not you could dislike a business page. None of the buttons are up, by the way. There is no dislike button. There is no thumbs down button yet.
Businesses
Facebook
thrive
is
on
rolling
likes.
Something up, though. Yeah.
You know, let's say you spend a lot of money paying consultants and all of that, and you got your likes up to 1 million. You got 1 million likes, and now all of a sudden they put a dislike button on your company Facebook page, and
you're
all your competitors start clicking like maniacs.
Wah,
sure. Wah, wah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can't be. That's not going
to
happen.
It'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
I think they think these things through at Facebook, don't they?
Yeah, maybe they have a big meeting and everybody goes, yeah, you're right, Mr. Zuckerberg. Let's do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Oh, gosh. All right. It's tough running a business, and sometimes you want to uphold certain quality standards for your customer, your consumer's purposes. You know, when they come in, they want to have a nice, fine experience with your employees.
And now, a consistent experience.
Yeah. Now, how far can an employer go when it comes to your employee's appearance? Can legally the employer mandate a certain body style or weight or hair color or skin color for that matter? There's an important ruling in a state with a business that you need to hear all about, and we'll tell you about it next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Port-Sakal Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Port-Sakal Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsakaldining.com or call 310-833-3553. There's a law in Connecticut that says a pickle has to be able to bounce to be legally classified as a pickle.
I think that's a good law. I don't like soft pickles.
Take a bite out of that sucker.
Yeah, you got to have some standards, right?
Come on.
Just like this company. Is it a restaurant, Ted? And where is it?
No. This is a casino in Atlantic City.
Oh.
Down there. It's not the Trump. It's not Caesars. It's the one everybody knows of. The Borgata.
Oh.
Ever.
The
right?
What?
Mm-hmm. The Borgata Casino.
I've heard of the Borgata. Yeah.
You have? Seriously.
I have.
Get out of here.
I have heard of it.
Get out
Just
of
because
town.
I think a lot of comedians play there and then they pump it as one of the places that they're going to be showing at.
All right, well, here's the deal. They have they decided there was a no fat chicks allowed thing when they were coming to hiring the wow. girls. They call the Borgata girls.
Borgata girls.
Our girls. We got a calendar. We sell the calendar. They're fantastic.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what happened was there was 21 of the waitresses, the so-called Borgata girls, who filed a complaint in a lower court about harassment, essentially, in the workplace because the boys at the Borgata, they don't want no fat chicks working there.
Yeah.
And they had weight regulations, according to the...
But see, that's against the law.
Well, evidently, not in New Jersey, because they upheld their the casino's right to enforce, I guess, not so much a weight regulation, but I guess an appearance regulation. They have a distinct uniform that the girls wear. You know, they get the short skirts, they get the mesh hose, they get the high heels. And, you know, the corset and that whole kind of deal. And they serve alcohol. They serve, like the girls in Vegas, you know. They dress sexy.
Sure.
So they are in the company, whose attorney is named Joe Corbo. I call him Joe Big Balls Corbo. That's the guy. Or it's Joey Chestnuts. You can call him that, too.
Right, okay.
But he's the guy that's handling the whole court deal of it. And it's gone to the lower court said, yeah, they can administer those rules any way they want to, which is the real stink, all right? So we're going to see what happens at the Borgata, because for the time being, no fat chicks.
So, and it's, so they're going to take that to a higher court. They've got to.
I mean, at some point
could,
or another.
This could go all the way to the Supreme Court.
It certainly could.
But so the slippery slope is that if you could tell your employees, okay, you can't be over a certain weight, then you could say you can't be over a certain height. You could say your hair color has to be certain, your eye color has to be, your skin color. You can do all these different things.
You could go 100 different ways from Sunday, and it's all discriminatory.
Yes.
So there you go.
Well, that goes a far way backwards from where we've come.
Aren't there certain jobs that require certain characteristics, though? I mean, even like if you're going to hire a Jasmine to play someone to play Jasmine at Disneyland.
Oh.
Don't they have to have a certain eye color, a certain
Not necessarily.
Skin color,
no.
a certain facial tone?
No.
I think so, though, Phil.
What, at Disneyland?
But
yes.
they do cast people who would fit that
Or what
role.
About if you're a football player and you become overweight and you can no longer perform at your job? Or what if you work at Hooters,
well,
let's
no.
say? You have to
Hooters
have a certain
Hooters is the best
physique,
example out of this.
Is one of the examples.
All right.
I'm trying to find something that's not Hooters, though.
Yeah, but Hooters is a good example because there, the supply and demand or the interest or whatever you want to call it, of the clientele tends to slough out the success and the lack of success of the waitresses who work there.
That's why you have an attorney like Joey DeBulls Corbo.
There was a guy who took it to court and said, hey, he wanted to be a food server at Hooters. And he won the case. He got to go in there and wear the orange dolphins and the tank top. And of course, he just got laughed at and eventually he said, okay, fine, this is stupid. It's
right.
bad for my self-esteem. I'm getting out of here.
It's like the little guys that try out for the Laker girls.
Yeah.
The same guys.
Right.
They make it through one or two rounds and then see ya.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Okay, so then how about that? How about you should have freedom to be able to compete for a position, but the employer should have freedom to be able whether or not you make the
role. Yeah, they're
role
still going to choose. And who's to say that you didn't get picked because, and then you have to take it to court. And
there
prove.
You go, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, but it's a whole brand that they're protecting, you see. So they're working on copyright protection and the whole thing. They have a calendar, these mm-hmm. girls. If the girls are, you know, if they got chicks, you have to roll in there on a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
They're not going to sell a lot of calendars.
No.
Right?
Right.
No, I agree. I think there are a lot of jobs out there that require a certain appearance. Being an accountant is not one of them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay.
So.
All right. You know, talking about attractive women, you know who Kate Gosselin is, right?
Sure.
All right. She cleaned herself up real good after she dumped her guy, the one that she had 100 kids with. Right? What was his name? John?
Frank.
John.
Oh.
All right.
John.
Seemed like a nice enough guy.
He was a dork.
I don't know. I watched the show with my wife a few times, and I find the lady, Kate, to be a little annoying.
You know, we have a population problem to begin with. We don't need those people. You know,
a little annoying, but she cleaned herself up, had some plastic surgery, got her 12-kid belly tightened up.
Right.
And a couple other things. I don't know. Got her face tightened up. Not sure what she did. Got the hair blonded out. And then somehow... she's 40 years old, by the way, she attracted a 52-year-old millionaire named Jeff Prescott, and they've been together for some time, and Entertainment Tonight now, who I apparently use as a regular source, say that Kate's rich boyfriend has dumped her in favor of a 26-year-old minx from Belarus.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Mm.
Attaboy.
They'd been dating since January, Kate and Jeff, and the replacement wife was found while he was traveling the world on business.
You remember the gal we had in here the other day that talked about how you can master women?
Yeah.
The book, Linda Gross.
Right.
Great book. I've read most of it.
Yeah.
Well, she has the four C's. What she eliminated there was the number one C is cash.
Yes,
that's what
exactly.
Gets the chicks.
Well, and what gets the guys, the gal from Belarus, she speaks five languages.
Oh,
and is planning to launch her own cosmetics company now that she has some cash. And ironically, the time Jeff spent traveling without Kate was causing tension between them. Sources say she's devastated because she thought that they had a special connection.
Yeah.
Well, Kate speaks a couple of languages.
She's going to release an album, too, isn't she?
I hope not.
I think she already did.
Oh, okay.
During the wave.
I was making that up.
She was riding the wave.
Makes sense. Fashion line, album, dance club. You know, she's going to be on what? She's going to be a judge.
Yeah.
Sitting next to Howard.
Robert De Niro. You know who that is.
Sure.
He's been hanging out with Anne Hathaway lately.
I call him Bobby D, actually.
Just on the set, professionally.
On the set.
Yeah.
Okay.
But people have noticed that while Bobby's on the set. Yo, Bobby!
You're Robert talking to me.
De Niro's on the set. He still uses a flip phone.
Whoa. That's because he is afraid of butt dialing.
That could be. He may also be going to the convenience store around the corner and picking up one of those for, you know, you get a one-month deal on a phone, and the phone costs you $9, and you pay the $15 for the one-month access fee, and the phone calls are free, and then at the end of the month, you toss it, and you keep changing your number. Nobody ever... A guy like De Niro's got to have an unlisted number, right?
It's called a burner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's guys in Hollywood that walk around with four or five of those at a time.
Yeah.
Probably.
Those burners.
Burners. That's what they're called?
Robert De Niro and my grandma Mary with the flip. Is his his service come from Cricket, also like my grandmother's?
Yeah.
Cricket? Is that the name of the company?
Yeah, it's like the cheapie for
Cricket
seniors.
Mobile.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Cricket Mobile.
I think you can get it at Walmart and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
I'm next getting that.
You know what also I like is free cash.
Oh, it's the jitterbug, too. That's the name of the phone itself, is the jitterbug.
Oh, that's the one with the giant buttons on it.
Yeah, I need that.
Here's what I like and what I wish I need it would get, just for living in the state of California in which I live, is every now and then a check would just show up for the heck of it.
Yeah.
Just because I live here.
Mailbox money.
And that actually happens in at least one of our states. And which one is the one you're focused on here, Chris?
Start over. I blanked out there for a second. We're talking about, getting paid for living in a state?
Yeah.
Yeah, how great is that?
And it is
only,
great.
To the best of my knowledge, it only happens in one state. It could happen in other ones, especially ones with gambling. But residents of Alaska will be receiving a record payout next month just for living there.
All of them? Every single resident?
Every single resident. I mean, you have to... It's not like if... We're not going to take a road trip and get a check for over $2,000, but it's because you have to live there for over a year. And all the residents of Alaska are part of an oil wealth trust fund. It was started back in the early 80s. The first check was $1,000, and since then it's only increased to this year now being a record-setting $2,100 per resident.
That's could over 100%. That's excellent.
Yeah.
What a return.
Since 84, what's that? That's 12 years ago, so...
Yeah, if you can count on that.
What do they
call it? I bet the locals call it, have a name for it, right?
Like musicians, when you get residuals.
Gas cash.
Yeah, right. Or mailbox money is what I've heard.
Mailbox money. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and then you plan a party around it.
You're darn right.
First and the 15th.
Or you know what? If since 1980 what?
84.
Imagine you just invest that in some kind of conservative, slow-burning, 3-4% thing or something
there
like
you
that.
Go.
You've got $1 million in the bank.
You do, yeah. $1,000 a month that slowly increased.
Is it a month or a year?
A year.
Yeah.
And you do that every year for what's going on 32 years now.
Oh, yeah.
That's not bad. By the way, the annual payout is credited with keeping many low-income families out of poverty.
I bet you can directly invest it in some sort of a fund. You can send it anywhere. I bet you could.
Most probably do. I would imagine.
I would, yeah.
Why not?
Sure would.
Throw it in even in like an annuity or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Let's just go home.
Okay. See ya.
Call it a day. Everybody want to go to Alaska?
We're not getting paid. Let's go to Trader Joe's. What do you say? Do you shop there at the Trader Joe's?
Sure, man. Oh, yeah.
Did you know that 4 out of every 5 things on sale on the shelves at Trader Joe's are one of their own brands?
Whoa.
They're not selling other people's junk, just their stuff. Just their stuff.
Wow, that's cool to know.
Yeah,
I bet a lot of the frozen foods are stuff they import,
right?
Or that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like when you go to the grocery store and they have all that Kroger stuff.
Yeah,
that's
the store brand there.
Yeah,
exactly.
But this is Trader Joe's stuff. Yeah, their beer is good.
You like Johnny Depp?
Sure.
He's doing this Whitey Bulger movie, and I don't know about you, but it looks good to me.
It looks absolutely real good.
And I have a feeling that Manny, the movie guy, has seen it already. In fact, he may be over at Johnny Depp's house right now, but he'll check in with us next, right here, on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. You know, if popcorn scent was available in Eau de Toilette, it would have our next guest's face on it, on the bottle. It really would. It's KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
Yeah, that's right. And the commercial would have Johnny Depp starring in it.
Oh, yeah. Of course it would. Now, I joked before we went to the break that you were probably at Johnny Depp's house, and maybe you've been there, or maybe you had a chance to talk with him this week, because that movie, Black Mass, looks like something else, huh?
It is. It is. You know what? It really is a fantastic film. My only little problem with the film, though, is that we've seen some of them before. It's like a mashup of The Departed and American Gangster thrown in for good measure, you know? But Johnny Depp is a surefire Oscar contender for his portrayal of James Whitey Bulger, one of America's most notorious gangsters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he used to be one of our neighbors for years, and we didn't even know it.
Oh, wow.
More or less. I mean, he lived in Santa Monica, and I lived 35 miles away,
Was it during his 21 Jump Street days?
No, not Johnny Depp. I mean Whitey Bulger.
Whitey Bulger. Oh, my God. I thought you were talking about Johnny Depp. Well, that's more scary.
Of course it is.
More than 21 Jump Street. And you know what? At the heart of the film, though, is loyalty. The relationship between Bulger and his senator brother, played by Benedict Cumberbatch, and the brotherly connection between the crime boss and his neighborhood friend, FBI agent John Connolly, wonderfully played by Joel Edgerton. I enjoyed this film. It's from director Scott Cooper. You may remember the movie Crazy Heart and Out of the Furnace. He directed both of those films. And Black Mass uses familiar tropes we've seen in many gangster movies, like what I told you. But although Black Mass is not groundbreaking, it is deeply well-acted and well-told film with Depp's monstrous performance staying with you long after the end. I am so happy to see Johnny Depp in a different character other than the Pirates of the Caribbean or,
Yeah, but you dig the makeup, though, don't you, Manny? Come on.
Which makeup?
The makeup in Jack Sparrow.
Well, yeah, and the Angela Lansbury accent, yes.
Okay, there you go.
Is that what that is? Angela Lansbury.
Well, you know, I remember him saying that in one of the interviews.
Oh, all right.
So my question is, do you think he's up for at least an Academy Award nomination with this performance?
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure if he's gonna win. I mean, we don't know the nominees yet. But you know, he's been nominated so many times before. Mm-hmm. You know, he was even nominated as Jack Sparrow from the first Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Well, there's other good actors out there, and there's always somebody who's going to give you a run for your money.
Right. But this one is really gripping, and so I strongly recommend you to watch this film.
Okay. Now, are we going to say Everest or Everest?
let's be Americans and say Everest.
All right. Let's go up that mountain. Let's go up the mountain of Mount Everest. That's how Americans would say it.
Yeah.
This one is ultimately touching with majestic cinematography. So, yep, Everest is a movie worthy of a climb. Based on the true-life 1996 tragedy, which inspired the John Krakauer bestseller Into Thin Air, the star-studded cast has Jason Clarke and Jake Gyllenhaal as rival tour guides who must team up to lead climbers right up to the top of the magnificent mountain. But an unexpected storm is brewing.
Yeah.
I enjoy the talented cast of this one, but with so many actors competing for screen time, it's hard to develop each and every character. But that's not to say you will not feel the despair on the screen. We can truly identify with the man versus nature theme. This is from director Baltasar Kormákur, who gave us The Deep and Two Guns. Everest is a visually stunning, nail-biting, cautionary tale. Never underestimate the power of Mother Nature.
No.
This one I strongly recommend as well.
And never try to climb a mountain that's like 8 miles tall.
It's, correct.
Isn't that the better lesson?
That's true, too.
All right. Now, there are about 1,000 actors in this movie, The Maze Runner. And I'm just looking at the list, and I'm trying to decide if I recognize any of them.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so. Sangster. I know that one. No, I don't.
You know Barry Pepper.
Oh, yeah, I know Barry Pepper.
Yes, you know Patricia Clarkson.
Okay.
That sounds
Taylor,
familiar.
Giancarlo Esposito. You know them, but you know the main star of this film, of course, is Dylan O'Brien. He is Thomas. Now, do you remember Maze Runner from last year?
No,
it's open last year. That one was based on a young adult series of novels by James Dashner. It made lots of money, mm-hmm. So now we have the Scorched Trials. Now, if you don't remember last year's Maze Runner, let me guide you. Previously, Thomas, played by Dylan O'Brien, woke up trapped in a massive maze. The clues he had from his past enabled him to find a way to escape. Now we are on the Scorched Trials. O'Brien returns as Thomas, and his biggest challenge this time is finding out who the powerful organization known as WCKD is. No, it's not a TV or a radio station, but it stands for World in Catastrophe, Killzone Experiment Department.
Yikes. Yeah.
Together with his fellow gladers, his fellow escapees from the first film, they discover Scorch, a desolate landscape full of obstacles. Yep, it's the Maze Runner all over again.
Wow.
Biggest problem with adapting young adult novels is it's always a hit or miss. For every Hunger Games, there's Ender's Game.
Yeah.
The Maze Runner falls snugly between the two. It's not a great young adult novel adaptation, but it has enough gripping action scenes to keep you interested. But be warned, this is strictly for the fans of the book. And can I have one request?
What's that?
Can we please create other novels about teens without post-apocalyptic themes?
Yeah, no kidding.
I was wondering, Manny, how did the first Maze Runner do? I was surprised, actually, that there was a follow-up.
It made $109
million. Oh,
wow. That's fooled me.
In Hollywood world, that's anything over $100 million is a big hit.
Yeah.
So, Manny, now we have these three really actually big movies coming into theater this weekend. Are they all going to split, or is somebody going to come out ahead of the pack? Is it going to be Whitey Bulger's story that's going to be more than the rest of them?
You know, the problem with Whitey Bulger and Everest, with Black Mass and Everest, they're both rated R.
Oh.
So I think Maze Runner will be the winner at the
box office. Will be number one at the box office.
Never underestimate those young adult fans, let me tell you.
Okay. Well, there's a reason. There's a reason the book was for young adults.
Correct. Well, they propelled Twilight and the Hunger Games to pop culture. So
yeah.
There you go.
Right. MannyTheMovieGuy.com. I want you to visit the website. Is there an interview with Johnny Depp?
No, I didn't interview him. I didn't go to Toronto Film Festival.
Oh.
I was busy, but next week I'm going to be going to London for Steve Jobs, and I'm looking forward to that.
That movie looks good. Fassbinder is tremendous.
Well, and the director is Danny Boyle, who gave us Slumdog Millionaire, Trainspotting. Okay. I love all those films. And it's written by Aaron Sorkin, who gave us The Social Network, and, you know.
I'm down.
So we won't be talking to you next week. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I know. I am so sorry. I'm flying Wednesday. But I did buy a black turtleneck.
Oh.
Swinging.
For my Steve Jobs interview. Yes.
Perfect.
Don't forget your blue jeans.
I like
there
that. All right. And you better pick up one of them watches, too.
And you'll see all of them next at MannyTheMovieGuy.com, of course. And this weekend, I'm interviewing Anne Hathaway and Robert De Niro, and you'll find my interviews with them as well.
Ask her to borrow his flip phone.
I will.
All right. Manny the Movie Guy, thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. All right. Now, up next, we're going to talk healthy stuff, I think. You want to know the secret to good health?
Sure.
Our next guest says that the secret is in your mouth right now. And we'll find out what that is and why.
God,
next,
please.
Right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, it's time to get healthy. What's the matter with you? It's about time you got healthy. Or let's find out why you're not healthy. Open up and say, ah. Joining us live is New York holistic dentist and author of the book, Your Tongue Never Lies, is Victor Zines. Hello, sir. Dr. Zines, is that what we call you?
Yep.
All right. A pleasure to have you on the program. Now, what's in our mouth? It's our tongue. And what do you mean it never lies? There's a whole bunch of stuff growing on it, isn't there?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. What do you now? Let me apologize, first of all, on behalf of the rest of the world, that you have to look inside people's mouths every day.
Actually, it's fun.
Is it really?
Well, think of it this way. I get a chance. I spend my life healing people. I mean, we do restorative surgery, which is what dentistry really is.
Yeah.
But it's also a great way to heal people.
Well, okay, that's what I've heard, that the gums and the tongue, and it, more or less, they're a direct route to other parts of your body. I didn't know so much about the tongue, though. I knew about the gums, but tell us more about the tongue. What's going on there?
About both. I mean, just briefly about gum disease, 65% of our population has it. Mm-hmm. If you have gum disease, you have four times the chance of getting a heart attack or a stroke.
Ooh.
A 63% increase in pancreatic cancer if you're a man.
Hey.
It is related to breast cancer and 40 other diseases. So it's not just what's going on in your mouth.
Yeah, I'll say. But you've got to take care of things. And so where does it start? Not just brushing, but flossing, right?
Well, no, it really starts with diet.
Oh.
You can brush and floss forever. But if you don't change your diet, it's not going to do a damn thing for you.
Yeah. All right. That's the holistic part of your practice.
Exactly. And one of the things we started looking at was people's tongues. You know, people would come in with white tongues or green tongues that look like your doormat.
Yeah.
And you don't learn a thing about that in dental school. But
that's odd, isn't it? I mean, you've got hindsight is 20/20.
Nutrition either. And you would think you would. I mean, med school and dental school were supposed to help people and not just give them drugs. But that's just starting to become into the picture now.
Yeah.
Whereas dentists were really writing about this in the 1930s. So it's not new stuff.
Hmm.
I was fortunate enough after I graduated to sign up for a course in Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
And they taught me acupuncture, which I realized I don't know anything about. But it did show me about meridians. and then how each tooth is connected to a meridian, and then it started showing me things about tongues. And what I found was the Chinese system doesn't work for us, because if you tell people you have too much yin or too much yang, it doesn't mean anything. But if you say, gee, you know, your tongue was funny, how's your digestion? That means something. Huh. So let me give you a couple quick signs that people can use to determine their health.
Okay.
If your tongue is white, it's usually indicative of toxins coming out, or it could be circulation or low adrenal function.
All right.
If it's yellow or yellowish-green, it could be liver or gallbladder problems. If it's gray or grayish-brown, it could be stomach or intestine.
Ooh.
If the top of your tongue is cracked, it's a vitamin deficiency. If the sides of your tongue have scalloping, they look like teeth outlines, it's either sleep apnea or it's minerals deficiency. If the tip of your tongue is red, it's either thyroid or heart problems. And the thicker the coating that you have, the more chronic the problem is. Also, if your tongue is dry,
yeah,
that's also internal.
What about the opposite? You just can't keep the drool off of your face.
Same thing. It's also internal. Something again is off.
Yeah.
In most cases, you're too acidic. And what you're doing when you can't get the drool out easily, you're stimulating your saliva glands. And also, in that case, it could be that your bite is off.
Oh, really? Something as simple as that?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not so simple, because most dentists only check the bite when you're sitting back in that chair. You know, and when you think about it, who walks around like that? So I really have my patients stand up before we check.
Well, now that's... See, nothing gets past you. Why isn't every dentist like you?
He's paying attention to details.
I guess so.
Yeah, we try.
Yeah, I guess... Let me ask you something totally off subject.
Go ahead.
I had a dentist for a while, and I just want you to comment on this. He said, when you pick a dentist, look for the telltale signs. If it's an opulent office and he drives a fancy car, you want to turn around and run. If your dentist drives an 82 Nissan pickup and the office is humble and he gets all the magazines for free, then that's the dentist for you, because he's just going to fix what you got and send you home.
Maybe.
You good with that?
It was definitive.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about the 82 pickup. Yeah. That part throws me off a little bit. Hey, I have a quick question before.
I think what I would want to find out.
What would you want to
find out? What he does on the first exam.
Okay, yeah. That's...
Walk in, he does an exam. What's he doing?
Yeah. Here's one example, and then you tell me what's better. I went to searching for a doctor, and this guy did not drive an 82 Nissan pickup. And what I got was chisels to my teeth. And from some lady in what looked like an official outfit that you wear when you're a dental assistant. And then I got a proposal for $12,000 worth of stuff.
Okay.
And this was after not spending $1,200 for the last 10 years on a dentist and going regularly.
Costing you $12,000.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Let's go back a minute. Did he, when he examined you, did he check your lymph nodes?
No.
Did he check your tongue?
No.
Did he check your cheeks?
Cheeks? No. What
okay,
else?
At that point...
Did he check your teeth, Phil?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
He practically chipped them.
I couldn't care less about the teeth at this point.
Yeah.
What you did not get right off the top from what you're telling me is an oral cancer checkup.
Oh.
Which I'd be much more interested in having than I would have...
Yeah, well, me too.
Stupid cavity. So immediately, I would have found another dentist.
I did.
Right off the top.
But not one that does what you're talking about. I mean, who does? It sounds like you're the only one.
There's about 1% of the dentists in the country that work like I do.
Yeah.
I add a little bit because I also have developed superfoods for my patients.
Oh.
And supplements. And the reason for that, I'll give you my 3-hour nutrition lecture in 30 seconds.
Ready? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say you have the best diet in the world. All your food is grown organically. It's in soil that has everything the soil needs to make food the best for you, even though that hasn't been in this country since 1923. And we'll throw in that you have no pollution and no stress in your life. So I have two questions. Ready?
Yeah.
First, I want to know how you're doing it so I could do it.
Yeah.
Second question is, how old's your food?
Yeah. It's not new, that's for sure. Except for the stuff I pull out of the garden in the yard.
If you're lucky, your food's a week old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how much nutritional value do you think you're getting from stuff a week old?
Not as much as you would if it were fresh. I hear what you're saying.
About 40%.
Yeah.
Which is why we developed a supplement called Vital Boost.
Yeah.
And if you go on my website.
And what is the address for the website?
NATDENT.com.
Nat Dent.
Yep. You will see before and after pictures of tongues where they start off looking like a doormat and then they start looking like a real tongue.
My goodness.
And the only thing we changed was we started giving the Vital Boost supplement.
Are you growing that in the back of the dentist office?
No, I have Ethiopian midgets coming in our basement.
In the basement.
Yeah, boys, they come in at night. They make it for us.
I like this guy's eyes.
Yeah, me too. I always thought those lights they have on the dentist chair that they stick in your face, that those would be great for growing plants.
Oh, yeah.
We could have another conversation.
Is it one supplement or is it a handful of pills?
It's one supplement. It's a superfood. And basically, it's a... I made it really for myself and my patients because I wanted a multivitamin and mineral superfood that would be a rich source of immune-enhancing, anti-aging nutrients mm-hmm. that really would support normal function and structure in our world, which is really... electromagnetically polluted.
Yeah.
And this formula is designed really to promote a healthy mouth and to stimulate your immune system. And a lot of what we have in it is also known for their anti-cancer, anti-aging properties.
Yeah.
So I made it primarily, and it took me 10 years to get this formula the way I wanted it. But it's really so that I live longer and healthier. And if I'm going to do it for myself, there's no reason I shouldn't do it for my patients. And that's one reason I like doing radio shows, because we can get the information out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, go on the site and look, and you'll see if you order it, we send you my 3 books for free.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so right away, just by ordering online, you save yourself a couple $100.
Well, see, you have your guys growing the stuff. We have our web munchkins who update things. Not only is your book available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com, but it is also, your website is also linked on our links page under the letter N for natdent.com. So we're all set.
Yep, thank you.
And it's a pleasure to speak with you. Now, one quick thing, and then because we're almost out of time. When you start taking the superfood,
mm-hmm.
As prescribed by the good Dr. Zines, how quickly does your tongue go from a putrid, crusty mess to a normal-looking tongue?
It depends on how sick you are.
Yeah.
But I hear lots of people tell me within a week that they feel better, they have more energy, and they look better.
Huh.
And that, to me, I translate that into saying, hey, you know what? It really means that basically you've been nutritionally deficient. Now, one more thing.
Yeah.
This stuff doesn't taste like grass.
No.
It's a sweet. It's sweet. It tastes good. And I use it with I recommend either hemp, almond, rice, soy, or coconut milk.
Oh, look at that.
I add whey protein to it.
Uh-huh. How about sugar? Can you add some sugar to it?
Yeah, we're hemp guys.
Why would you want to do that?
Yeah, because I'm talking to a dentist. I thought I would tweak you. I'm messing with you, Dr. Zines. A pleasure to speak with you. What Your Tongue Tells You, the book is called Your Tongue Never Lies, and go check it out. And thanks for being on the program,
I
sir.
Like
my pleasure.
Yeah.
I like you a lot, yeah. Thanks. Maybe we'll talk to you again.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I think it would be.
We could talk about root canal toxicity and mercury poisons.
Holy cow.
Now we're talking.
Wow, that's a radio show right there. Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. So much more to come, including Hell Hath No Fury, like the examples you'll hear of women, that is, who are not too thrilled by their men's behavior. That and more in the next hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, diplomatic immunity, should it absolve you from ridiculously bad and dangerous behavior? A guy wins the lottery and doesn't tell his wife. What could go wrong? And there's something new in my life, and I hate it. In fact, I'm getting downright homicidal about it because this thing has invaded my family space, and it must be stopped. I'll tell you about that in a bit. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. We have Ted Pritchard and Chris Martin here today in the studio. They are the friends.
We're the others when you say the experts, authors, and others.
Mm-hmm. We've had an expert and an author on so far today.
Here we are.
Yeah. All right. Let's get things rolling here. Who's the biggest richest athlete in the world?
Michael Jordan.
No.
No. That's a good guess, though.
Magic Johnson.
No.
Another good guess.
Active athlete.
Both of those billionaires, by the way.
Who's the white guy that played soccer up here for
David
a while?
Beckham.
Yeah. No.
No, he's not?
No.
Wait a minute. Okay, the guy that plays for Real Madrid.
No, it's not even
Is
him.
It a race car driver?
No, it's a boxer.
You're talking about Floyd Mayweather.
Exactly.
Of course.
He's the richest athlete going right now.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know Floyd Mayweather had a fight last weekend?
No.
Yeah.
Neither did anybody else.
Nope. Huh? Apparently not. Yeah. He fought Andre Berto last Saturday, won by unanimous decision,
that's
of course.
That's
unusual because that Andre's a pretty good fighter.
Yeah, he looked good, too. I mean, physically he looked to be in good shape, but I mean...
I have no idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, never heard of him.
They were relatively within the same age range this time, too, right?
Yeah, I think that Berto was just a couple of years younger or
didn't
a few years
younger.
Didn't go
down to the assisted living center and get an opponent or anything.
Yeah, you know... Well, Floyd Mayweather's 38 years old.
What?
He's about to be 40, yeah.
Shut up. All right,
so check this out. The numbers are in on the fight. It's somewhere between 400,000 and 500,000 pay-per-view buys, which is less than one-tenth of the Manny Pacquiao fight that they had just months ago that we all remember.
That's crazy, yeah.
That was like something like 4.5 million pay-per-view buys. This is one-tenth of that the very next fight.
So are his people calling up Pac-Man and saying, hey, let's go for round two?
Oh, of course, they're thinking about that, but you'll still never get back to 4 million. And by the way, if you listen to his people, no, because check this out. Floyd Mayweather is saying... He knows when it's time to hang it up, and it's time to hang it up. He just won this fight. He goes to 49-0, ties Rocky Marciano for the longest winning streak without defeat in the history of boxing, and says, I'm going to retire. I'm going back to live with my family and focus on my promotions
business.
That's
smart. But
it's not even smart. It's BS is what it is, isn't it? Total...
Well, no,
I mean, he's playing us again.
Do you think he's going to
come
back?
Don't get played.
He'll
of
come
course.
Out of
okay.
Well, isn't the temptation...
How do you not go to 50-0?
Isn't the temptation, well, there's that, but isn't there the temptation to get 40 million pay-per-views by accepting a fight with Ronda Rousey?
There you go.
No, I don't think so.
It would be the biggest, there would never be a pay-per-view bigger than that.
It'd be a really, really bad decision. He'd go down in history as the most hated man on the planet.
No, he'd go down in history as the first boxer to lose to a chick.
Man. No, or the first man to punch a chick on live television. Even if he lost, he would still be punching a woman. You don't do that.
So you think
he's
got to
be smarter than that. Absolutely.
No, but Ronda Rousey would give him permission publicly and say, okay, people, don't hate him for him hitting me. But by the way, he's not going to get more than one in.
Fair enough. Yeah, but put her in a boxing ring and he'd knock her socks off, right? I mean, he's a much better boxer than she is, and she's a better...
She has boxing training?
Wrestler. She has some boxing training, but not like 49-0, 170-pounder when he's, you know, walking around weight.
Yeah, I don't know what she is now. She's
like 150.
She beefs up to around close to 150 for her matches. Yeah.
Sure.
She does.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be. I'm saying it might be a bad PR move on his part. Even if so, if you lose to a girl. If you win, you beat up a girl.
Yeah.
So, how does that bode well for you?
Well, but, so that should be hot oil wrestling.
But 40 million. I think it's realistic to think that you would get 20 to 40 million pay-per-view.
I don't disagree. Yeah, but I don't know.
I don't think
that's
it's gonna
what
happen.
They're.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, if
there will be one more fight for Mayweather though, and it will be big. But
I'll remember
we're gonna
you said that.
he's gonna ask us as fans to beg him out of retirement.
Here's the thing, though. You don't make the Pacquiao Mayweather 2 his 50th.
No, of course not. It's got to be some young stud coming up through the ranks.
Because Pacquiao just could at the beat right him. Time. You know, the right combinations for Pacquiao, he could beat him. If Pacquiao takes it seriously, the next time they fight, Pacquiao will win.
Yeah. Supposedly, he was injured in this fight.
Yeah.
Pacquiao.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd watch Rousey and Mayweather fight.
Of course
Who
you
wouldn't
would.
Watch it? But,
of course
but
you would.
But there's no way that that's going to happen. I can imagine.
Yeah. All right. Now they'll keep talking trash.
Old Floyd.
Yeah.
Coming out of retirement. It's kind of like the Who reunions.
Yeah. Yeah, except they have to cancel those when somebody gets the croup. The croup.
Somebody can't get up out of their wheelchair.
Yeah, right. Which is a shame because we're old guys and we remember how cool the Who were for so many years.
Yeah.
The technology that's going into the dashboard of your car these days.
Awesome.
Is just something else. And it's got to keep up. I mean, my car's got a fair amount of technology in it, but the apps they're app light. They don't seem to have the full spectrum of options that the apps in my phone have. And my phones are getting so much better. It seems like every year, year and a half, the phone is 100% better than the previous phone.
Your phone is awesome, by the way.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And it's going to be obsolete in 6 months, more than
probably.
Likely. Yeah. But the dashboards need to keep up. And is there anything good coming, Chris?
There is, yeah. There's new technology that turns your vehicle into a smartphone on wheels, which is pretty awesome.
This is like the technology we were talking about when the internet first started to get really popular.
Yeah.
Think about this. It's going to be in the car. It's going to do everything.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking
Finally.
About.
We need to go invest? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we should have been a long time ago.
I know, right? We're too late. We're behind the curve. Well, now what you do is you take your smartphone, you connect it to a USB port in your new model car, and bang, your car turns into a smartphone on wheels. It literally takes your in-dash screen, turns it into whatever you see on your phone.
Awesome.
It's all sort of in beta testing right now. They're fixing all the bugs out of it, but there will be two versions coming out, one called CarPlay for obviously all of the iPhone phones, and then one called Android Auto for all the Android phones.
I have the Android Auto app installed on my phone. It doesn't work on my car, but it does. We were shopping around for a car for my daughter, and she was looking at Subarus. And the car that she was looking at, the Android Auto worked on that. And so you could go full smartphone on the dashboard in that
car.
Nice.
Yeah, it's wild. And then so now you'll even have... For if you have an iPhone, Siri would actually become your navigator, your co-pilot.
Yeah.
Oh boy!
In a sense, you know, it's all voice activated. It's all Bluetooth. It's all looks. It
and
replicates
Siri will say,
your phone.
"Where are you going?"
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Ted, you're lost again.
Yeah.
Early reviews say that it is very easy to use and much safer way to navigate.
Well,
around.
Safer way to navigate, but there, if you could bring your smartphone to the screen, doesn't that mean that you'll be watching movies and videos
of course, and
porn while you're driving?
There you go. So, here, you know, I've seen the BMWs, you know, and it puts the image of what you are looking at in your dash up on the screen. So
That's
it's like
not distracting,
the windshield.
Is it?
Yeah,
the windshield, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's wild, but I just kind of thought, it's a little distracting.
Yeah.
So if I'm surfing porn while and it's on my windshield, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah, right. Well, first of all, you don't have your hands at 10 and 2 at that point. That's obvious.
No, correct. I'm one-handed.
Come on.
I'm a one-handed
Have you seen
driver.
Phil's phone, by the way, Ted? Do you see his phone on the horizontal edge? It has a bevel with the screen that you can actually, you know the best part of that, Phil? You could set your phone on the table while you're having dinner with your mother-in-law or wife or whatever, and it could literally scroll sports scores across the bottom beveled edge of that screen, and the person looking at you across the table can't see it.
I know.
Hey.
I know it.
Nice.
I know it. See?
Nice.
There's the scam. You had to expose me.
Yeah.
Now, for many years, some of the more militant feminists in this world have been saying, you know what, who needs a man? You know, and apparently nature is proving them right.
They already knew.
And Ted has evidence to that fact next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, I don't know what I've just done, but we were talking about my phone, and I'm looking at a message on here, and it says, SOS message sent.
From whom?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I've done.
What does SOS stand for?
I think it's just was easy when you're doing Morse code. They're the three simplest to recognize.
Oh,
and
so
in that sequence.
SOS, SOS.
Right.
I thought it was save our ship.
Well, it could be.
Yeah.
It sure works.
Was it save our ship, save our soul, something like that?
I thought it was a certain product on shingles.
That's breakfast in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There you go. All right, so we're back here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. Before we took the break, the whole concept that women don't need men anymore is being borne out in stories in Nature. In fact, Ted, you have one of these stories.
I do. You know, how many times have I been exposed to that? It's a myth. It's an urban myth. Women don't need men.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Well, in nature, it's proving to be true. This is weird, and you would never think that this would work. It's for the second time in 2 years, this is a captive snake in southeast Missouri. It's given birth without ever having been around another male snake.
No kidding. So it's rubbing up against something, maybe?
I don't know what the hell it's
doing. It's immaculate conception.
It's a female yellow-bellied water snake, which we're all familiar with,
of
right?
Of course, yeah. Who doesn't have one of those?
See him all the time down here in the harbor. And this one has been living in captivity for some years and without a male companion, but it delivers what they call freshly laid membranes. It's done it in July of the last 2 years.
There's a great band right there, too.
I think they're... Oh, never mind.
I'm playing at the Palladium tonight?
Yeah, Who reunion with them, too.
Yeah.
The Conservation Department herpetologist Jeff Brigler said virgin births are rare but can occur in some species. Through a process called parthenogenesis.
Isn't it?
I've been practicing parthenogenesis for years.
Yeah,
but
right.
Nothing's happened.
Yeah, but you date yourself.
That's
and
true.
Who hasn't? The problem here is that there's a certain amount of irony in this story.
Oh, very
especially
much.
From a biblical sense, right? Mm. The things started with Adam and Eve and the snake.
And the snake.
And so here we are at the, it must be the end times because we're about to end with the snake.
And we had a tsunami warning last night right here in California.
Oh, that's a huge earthquake in Chile.
But nothing happened.
You know what was most impressive about that
nothing
earthquake?
Nothing happened out here.
Since we're switching gears, is that how well the buildings in Chile held up.
Hmm.
Really impressive.
Well, so they have building codes as opposed to the rest of the countries in South America.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, they're used to getting slammed by those earthquakes.
Yeah.
But I do also think that parthenogenesis process is how they created Jurassic Park. So it could be onto something.
No.
That's like the theory they used in Jurassic Park. Next thing you know, you got dinosaurs running around eating people.
All right, now while we're on the subject of nature and the tricks nature plays on us, may I just say that if you asked me a week ago, I wouldn't have said this. But today, I hate squirrels.
I heard that.
I hate squirrels.
You have a certain look in your eye right now.
Yeah, it's a homicidal look. I want to kill a squirrel. And I used to love squirrels. Growing up, we'd go camping up in the Sierra Nevadas, and the squirrels and chipmunks would come out. We'd feed them food, and they'd just kind of hang out with us. And
they're thieves.
Didn't care if they... But, yeah, I have a lovely avocado tree in the backyard, which produces lovely avocados. A lot of them.
Right.
Enough to give avocados to everybody in the neighborhood.
Ooh, nice.
Or sell them for a buck a piece.
That's what they are in a store, at least a buck. Yeah.
And we've never had squirrels in my neighborhood, even though our street is lined with pine trees, conifers of some sort.
Hmm. So this one particular squirrel discovered your avocado tree. Is that right?
That is correct. Boy, you are prescient. And the squirrel, I don't know, it comes around in daylight. I don't think they're nocturnal
he's
creatures.
Ballsy.
They come around during the day, or it does, and it'll find the avocado that it desires, take a bite out of it, and knock it off the tree, and it'll hit the ground, and he'll forget about it.
And that's it. One bite.
Yeah, and then he'll find another one, one little scratch, knock it to the ground, another one, and then every now and then he'll spend some time. It's almost like he's saying, not that one. Not that one. Ah, this one. And then he'll make a complete mess, like a Tasmanian devil. There's there's shrapnel, avocado shrapnel all over
the backyard. Does he bark at you when you come out in the backyard?
We haven't had a confrontation yet. And then he'll leave the avocado seed on the top of the block wall.
Right.
And take off.
Oh, right. Just almost rubbing it in your face.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yesterday, don't tell anybody else in California I did this, but we've got people coming over this weekend, so I power washed the patio. Today, it's covered in avocado shards.
Okay. Mm. So what's the plan?
The plan is to kill the squirrel.
Well, I was going to suggest, you know, my daddy gave me a 12-gauge shotgun when
but,
I was
but
12.
But we're in a suburban neighborhood with the neighbor's house not more than maybe 4 feet away.
Right, and it's not New Year's Eve, so you can't blast off your piece.
So I've got to come up with, and if somebody can help me, for those of you who are on board with the idea of killing the squirrel, if somebody can help me with a way to do this. We've got our Twitter, we've got our Facebook, and we have that little voicemail bug on the website, the little blue tab. You could just you could say, Phil, I'll get rid of my squirrels.
Right.
And I'll listen to what you have to say, and the best advice wins.
So do you win?
I don't know what you're going to win. Is it a real contest? No.
Do we want to do this in a, you know, sort of a nice way, or do we want to make it ugly for him?
Well, I'm not at a vengeful state yet. But I am homicidal when it comes to this particular squirrel. And it's not a gray squirrel. It's one of those kind of...
Foxy.
Fox, orange, reddish kind of color.
And I'm willing to bet at this point he has really shiny fur.
Yeah, that avocado stuff will do that.
Eating all that avocado.
So
it's been eating healthy.
I don't want to name it, because once you name an animal, then it becomes...
And the kids find out, and then it's terrible.
But I'm inclined to call it guac.
Mm.
Well, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. That's a good name for it. I've seen squirrels eating avocados before. I saw a squirrel eating an avocado. I took a picture, and it was literally sitting on its rear end like a fat man at a buffet with a avocado half opened up in front of him, eating around the pit, eating this big, ripe, luscious avocado. I snapped a picture.
Dirty dog.
It's classic.
Yeah,
but this one was at like a public park, so he wasn't stealing anybody's life.
It wasn't my avocado tree that I painstakingly grow, oh, gosh.
Yeah. I say let him be. Guac. Name him guac and let him be. Let him be part of the family.
I say get some rubber avocados and put him out there. And it'll screw him up and he'll leave.
Oh, there's an idea.
See what I mean?
I got to keep track of which ones they are, but I can inject some of those avocados with some tasty poison.
Well, I don't know. I was just wanting
maybe
to
some
run
of that
away.
Superfood from last hour. That stuff will probably kill squirrels, huh?
Just don't mix it up with the avocados you want to eat.
Maybe I'll rub them down with some hemp or oil or something like that.
Yeah,
and
then
he'll fall off the block wall, and we'll just collect him and take him to the forest.
Then you can almost guarantee he'll be coming back also.
What do they do in Colorado where they've got all the weed?
Well, they do all kinds of things. First of all, they're making news, it seems like, every week for all sorts of different reasons. And this time, it's because yesterday was tax-free weed day.
Yeah.
Oh, you never thought we'd have one of those, but we did.
Yeah. Tax-free weed day. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, Colorado marijuana growers cashed in with state suspending taxes on all recreational marijuana sold during the 24-hour period of yesterday from beginning to end.
Hmm.
It's some sort of quirk in the law. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but it comes around once a year for these guys. And while shoppers saved a few dollars on not having to pay taxes for their recreational weed, wholesalers saved tens of thousands of dollars.
Okay.
Taxes are usually a 15% excise tax, which amounts to about $300 a pound.
Wow.
So for every pound a wholesaler buys or sells, there's 15%, $300 worth of taxes.
That's a lot of tax.
Exchanged hands somewhere in there.
You know,
well, that gets passed down to the end user, doesn't it?
Sure does.
So what do you mean it gets passed down to the end user? The taxes go to the government. That
no, what I mean is passed along, not passed down, but passed along so that when you buy that it's like
the cost.
Like buying gas.
Any business that you
cigarettes,
that you own,
right.
You get one of those tax, not a social security tax, but a tax ID so that you can be exempt from paying certain sales taxes when you purchase goods and services. And then but you still have to collect that tax on behalf of the government. So you when you sell the item, then the consumer pays the tax and you collect it and you give it to the government.
That's right.
Yeah. There's a markup on it that includes the taxes that you have to pay to the man. Yeah.
So I wonder how they did they screw up and just forgot one day in this piece of legislation about marijuana?
It's a good question because I've read a couple articles on it now and both of them really just said because of a weird quirk in the law, but really didn't make much noise about it or go real in depth on explaining what the quirk is. So there's some sort of loophole. They just play it out. Everybody enjoys it. Apparently, it's not a big deal. I don't think it's anything illegal or you know.
It just makes Coloradans what Colorado is.
Right. Yeah. Makes them happy.
They're all missing one day out of the year.
The SOS thing that happened on my phone.
Yeah.
Apparently it sent some kind of urgent message to everyone in my family.
Okay.
My wife had just called on me. She's sending me a text. What can I do for you? And I don't know how I did that. I have no idea.
Oh,
I didn't
you
press
sent
any.
It.
I sent some kind of SOS to my family. I wonder.
Weird.
The police are probably going to show up.
Well. You still have a lot to learn with that new phone, Phil.
I think I do. My goodness.
Spend some time with it.
All right. You know what we need?
Some quality alone time with that phone.
Quality alone time with some bacon. What do you say about that?
Oh.
Up next, among other things, in the second half of this hour, there's actually a dating app specifically for people who love bacon. Are you on board for that?
They're not going to get jobs at my casino in Atlantic City, though.
No, they're not. No. That's coming up next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and friends. Thanks for tuning in, and we appreciate that you listen to this program and you share this program with as many friends as possible. You see, together we grow.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Oscar Mayer, you know who that is?
The Wiener.
Yeah. They released a dating app yesterday.
Oscar Mayer?
Oscar Mayer did. It's called Sizzle, without the E at the end, S-I-Z-Z-L. And it matches you up with people obsessed with bacon, based on stuff like whether you like it chewy, crispy, burnt, or thick cut.
So that's your profile.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Ted. I like thick cut.
Yeah. Now, this is too good to be true. It's obviously a marketing ploy. Mm-hmm. But it is an actual app that you can use. So they'll probably, once you get the app, they'll start feeding you their marketing messages. But isn't that funny? they're probably going to do a lot of breakfast dates.
Ugh. Yeah.
It's just breakfast.
Now, so speed dating with a bacon lover.
Yes.
Crispy, by the way.
Right.
That's what I would search.
Yeah.
I'd narrow my search by going to all the people that like crispy bacon.
Now, I still haven't figured out what I did with my phone to send an emergency message, at least to my wife and kids, and hopefully not to the authorities. We're going to wait and see if
the fire truck
shows
up.
They hone in on my GPS and then find me. Maybe I should get my kids to help me with my phone there, Ted.
Perhaps. Because, mine helps me with mine all the time. Mine being my son.
Yes.
Yeah.
But kids understand this stuff. And there's a story in Texas that started out, that happened. But then it got a little more disturbing. And now I think maybe we have some lessons to learn. But this is a kid that invented something. And brought it.
Oh yeah,
and
this
built
kid.
Something at home and brought it to school.
Oh, this is a great story, and it goes back to what we have said on this program before, on your program, Phil, about political correctness, and we're hoping it's on the wane and so on and so forth. Because every now and then it just runs amok, and all hell's to be paid.
Yes,
this happened to a 14-year-old kid in Texas yesterday. He's a science guy. All right. He likes to build things. He likes to experiment with things.
Sure.
And he built at home, with the intention of bringing it to science class, an alarm clock. All right.
Homemade.
A homemade one.
Is it digital?
Well, it is a digital one.
Yeah.
So, but it's got a bunch of wires, and it looks like, you know, it looks like a kid built it. And he brought it to class, and it started to beep. Okay? Because it has an alarm.
Yeah.
So the teacher, poor woman, starts to freak out, looks at the kid and says, "Oh, my God, this kid has a bomb." And not only that, the guy's name is Ahmed Mohammed. So she really expects him now, right?
Yeah.
Or suspects him, I beg your pardon. So what does she do? She doesn't go down to the science teacher and say, "Would you come take a look at this? He says this is a science project."
Yeah.
She goes, she calls 911, and the cops show up.
Well, you can't be too careful, can you?
I suppose.
You got to have the science poor science teacher come over and, here, defuse this.
That would be fun, though.
You got 30 seconds. Is it the red wire or the black wire?
Call the bomb squad. So anyway, the poor kid they take him to jail. They put him in the holding cell. They call his parents and all that.
How old a kid is he? He's
14, for God's sake.
Oh.
But he's really super bright, obviously, right?
Uh-huh.
And well, anyway, so the whole thing started to blow over once the police, you know, started to really look into it.
Right.
And poor Ahmed, you know, he's there's some benefits he's going to reap from this whole thing, because Mark Zuckerberg called and said, "Come on up and visit," right?
Yeah.
So did MIT, and it was somebody else. Anyway, not only Facebook, but MIT called. So come up and do a tour. We want to talk to you.
That's
14.
Awesome. Yeah.
You're probably going to wind up here one of these days. If you keep up with, you know, this kind of experimentation and construction at home.
Right.
So, and Obama's called, said, you know, "Come to the White House and, you know, we'll talk it over." I think they're going to have one of those beer summits.
Oh, he's 14. No.
Never mind. Forget.
Oh,
I have to forget
please.
That. So, but anyway, political correctness run amok, but corrected.
Yes, and that's good. And is that really, is it a political correctness?
Sure,
or is it
is.
Or are you just overreacting and profiling in life?
Well, okay. Okay.
Overreacting, certainly.
Overreacting.
I don't even know about the profiling part. I'm willing to bet that probably could have been, well, maybe not, huh? I did just get that look like, nope. The fact that it's Mohammed probably aided in her decision. But with all of the crazy things that we see happening at schools on the news, it is understandable that some teachers would overreact in those situations.
Okay, so I take back the PC slam.
Yeah.
So
right.
it is more of an overreaction.
Well, no, that's fine. I mean, we still need to slam the PC
Correct.
People whenever we possibly can. Thank you for doing that. Keeping with the subject of the kids and the digital devices and understanding and all of that, and maybe I should ask a kid to help me out with my phone. Because we've all asked kids at some point or another to help us understand some kind of technology that is just second nature for them.
Right.
According to a new survey, almost half of parents have asked their kids for help with digital chores, like setting up a printer or downloading an app, or why is my phone sending emergency messages when I don't want it to? And kids get paid an average of 20% more for those types of things than they do for normal chores, like taking out the trash.
Oh, so I see. Digital chore. The parents don't know what they're doing, so they get it's a consultation fee.
Yeah, right. Parents don't know what they're doing, and they're paying their kids to do things that they would otherwise just ask them to do as a favor. Right? It's out of the goodness of their heart, they help their mom and dad. But no, I'm not going to fix your phone, Dad, unless you pay me. That's what they're breeding there. So parents who don't know what they're doing on two fronts. Now, just a little less than 50% of parents say they've paid their kid at least $30 to do one tech-related task for them. And a third said their kids get paid to help their grandparents, too.
Wow, I hope my son doesn't hear this story. Because he's been working for free.
Yeah.
Well, it's way more valuable to you as a parent or grandparent, right? Because if the kids don't take out the trash or do the dishes, you can step up and do that, no problem. But if they don't set up the wireless router, you're all in trouble, and you're going to have to go pay somebody else.
Good
you're going to have to call the Geek Squad to come over.
I suppose I shouldn't be talking, because I've gone over and set things up for my mom, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Who's, you know, when she was well into her 70s, and then she either bought me lunch or gave me a 50 spot. And
wow.
Yeah, here you go. So, hey, Mom, you don't have to pay. Well, here, take it. Take it. Take the money!
Well, you're pretty tech-savvy, Phil. And I'd like to think that more parents are actually tech-savvy. But
I'd like
not.
To think so, too, but every day.
Yeah.
It's what is this thing they call a mouse? The survey also asked what the most popular chores used to be before technology blew up. And here are the top five chores kids used to do. And I'll start from the bottom. 19%, doing yard work.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
get paid for that.
Oh,
right?
yeah.
Fire up the mower.
22%, helping with the laundry. 23% helping with the groceries.
You mean buying?
Just bringing them
bringing
in the
them
house.
In. Bringing them in, okay.
Yeah. And these days you can't...
I didn't get paid for it.
These days, depending on what state you live in, they don't give you a bag anymore to put your groceries
correct.
In. Correct. Yeah. So it takes a lot longer to bring the stuff inside. Number two, washing the car, 35%.
Okay.
And you're not allowed to wash your car in certain states anymore either.
Not because of
the drought.
This one, yeah.
Yeah, California. And then the number one thing, 46% of people said that they had to do this as kids, wash the dishes.
Oh, sure.
Most of us now, we use our dishwasher,
yeah.
Isn't that right?
And no,
that's,
right.
That's more efficient with the water as well.
So I had an older brother, so the choice was wash or dry.
Oh,
yeah. Got it? I remember
what'd
that.
You pick?
Well, it just depended who flipped. You know, we'd flip for it.
Yeah.
Because we both had to do one or the other every night.
Then they were both equally as rough, because washing, you're going to get your hands
sure.
wet, and you're going to wipe all the dirt. But then drying, you have to dry it and put it away if you're on the dry side.
And then
the
my brother went to college, and I had to do both of them.
Yeah, right. All right, coming up on the program, those idiots in Beverly Hills who claim diplomatic immunity, there's an update on that we have for you. And should we extend diplomatic immunity to idiots? I don't know. there's a heartwarming story about a football player with one hand. How do you do that? How do you play? Did Doritos really have to do this? We have those stories and more coming up in the final segment of this edition of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right. You a fan of Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Big fan.
Jeopardy has gone viral today because of a contestant who got Alex Trebek to say something on national television that I don't believe he expected he was going to. Here, just give a listen. I might upcut it a little bit, but here, check it out.
For final, let's see. What is the love ballad of Turd Ferguson? P.S. Hi, Mom. Nope.
No, wait a minute.
Thumbs up from the contestant. She wrote that in Final Jeopardy.
Oh, shit.
And got Alex to say it. What is the love ballad of Turd Ferguson? Which was a reference back to Saturday Night Live. Norm MacDonald was playing. He was a Jeopardy contestant, but he was Burt Reynolds.
Oh, okay, right.
And Will Ferrell was
right. Celebrity Jeopardy.
Alex Trebek.
Or something, right?
And but if the story is right, and Chris, stop me if I've got it wrong here, he was a Burt Reynolds character, but he kept insisting that his name was Turd Ferguson.
That's right. And he even wrote his name as Turd Ferguson. And they had these great skits like the category would be S words, and it would get to the guy playing Burt Reynolds, and he would say, "I'll take swords for 200. And then Alex Trebek would get upset because he says, "It's not swords, it's S words." You know, so he just kept that theme going through.
Right. Oh, gosh. So anyway, the Alex Trebek says Turd Ferguson. It's not too hard to find that on the internet. We're not going to even post it.
I just wonder how many other, you know, guffaws people have talked him into saying, unbeknownst to Alec.
This might be the beginning of something good.
I hope
that's
so.
Going to last for a while.
Could you imagine a whole reel of them, like a half an hour's worth?
Well, there are. The people have been doing that, but usually it's like saying hello to their children, and then they'll name their children, and Alex Trebek reads all their names, and everybody gets a chuckle
out of
it.
And then it's going to be douchebag says what?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Slippery slope. I think Alex would catch that, though.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the lookout from now on.
He's going to take a beat before he reads.
He can't be a totally unsharp guy.
That's the incorrect answer.
No, that's not it.
All right. So
I just think it's a riot. I love that stuff.
Now, the what are the people over at Doritos doing? They've gone from making the flavor matter to making the color of the Doritos matter.
That's right. Yep.
What? Explain this.
Well, Doritos has unveiled a bag of rainbow-colored corn chips. And, yeah, it's exactly what you think.
But
it's
there's no different flavor.
Doritos rainbows. No, I'm sure they all taste like Doritos, like normal Doritos. But there's obviously red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, or Roy G. Biv. purple being violent.
Roy G. Biv.
Right? Isn't that where that comes from? Roy G. Biv?
I guess I never heard it until just now.
Now, of course, you wouldn't do something like that for nothing. It's an organization, actually, it's in support of the project Everything Gets Better, and it's an organization started to encourage gay and lesbian teenagers who have been bullied, lesbian gays, bisexuals, and transsexuals.
Right. So when you eat Doritos and you get the orange stuff all over your hands and your mouth, and your tongue turns orange, right?
Yeah.
So this turns pink. You get a rainbow.
Purple, blue,
what is
green.
Regiviv?
Roy G. Biv. Yeah, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, or purple as we sometimes say.
And that's what your tongue and fingers are going to be.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
How fitting.
Yeah. Now over to the sport of football, where there's a deficit of fingers with one young gentleman, but he's really impressing everybody.
This kid, first of all, quick story from my youth.
Yeah.
And it's not like we've had, you know, athletes that have physical difficulties that they bring to their sports, right? We had a kid in my neighborhood named Bobby Schindler, and he'd had an operation on one hand. He was left with his little finger and his thumb.
Yeah.
But so like you're giving the hang loose symbol.
Pretty much all the time. But that kid, he could play baseball. He could play basketball. He could do anything. Anytime we pick up teams and you want to do some Bobby Schindler, you want him. First guy.
Good.
That had to be this kid. He's a high school senior in Pennsylvania. His name is Chris Silbaugh. It's close to Pittsburgh, so you can imagine these are pretty tough kids anyway.
Sure. Got to be hardy to live in Pittsburgh.
But check this guy's stats. 6'3". He runs the 40 in 4.4.
Wow, that's fast.
Mm-hmm. That's NFL fast.
It's impressive.
So he made the varsity football team as a freshman, and he's been just kicking butt ever since. He holds the receiving record for his high school. That's passes caught.
Right.
Touchdowns made and yards scored. He just passed that up, and he's got 8 more games to go this season.
And what else does he have?
He's missing one hand.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he's got the record in receiving.
Yeah.
And that he is has something.
He's being looked at by colleges, Big Ten, SEC, you know, all of the East Coast bias people are looking at him.
Yeah. Which would be great to see. You know, you're right, because he's built like a very athletic receiver. He's got the long arms, long legs. He's got all the speed, but completely missing a hand on one hand. So he sort of has to cradle the ball in, but he does a tremendous job of doing it.
And a lot of catching one-handed, according to this to the story.
And then when he catches it, he just turns it loose. He just turns the legs on it.
Oh, man.
He's gone.
Wow. Nobody catches him.
That's awesome.
Nobody catches
him. That's a great story. Now, on the other hand, Elton John got pranked. That's all I could tell you.
He did. Elton John got pranked. If you haven't heard yet, Elton John was under the impression that he got a call from Vladimir Putin.
It could happen.
It's certainly possible. He thought that Vladimir had called him to discuss gay rights, actually, and had some questions on how he should approach the situation, how they can evolve.
That wouldn't happen.
No.
No, but Elton John thought it did. He thought it did. He was so convinced that it had happened that he actually released a statement thanking Vladimir Putin for calling him and, you know, really commending the Russian, what is he? He's a prime minister?
He's the premier.
The Russian premier, for calling him and asking for his advice. Turns out somebody is, of course, claimed pranking Elton John.
Yeah.
And, he said it made his day to prank him and to get away with it. He hopes Elton John understands it was all in fun. Here's what he did real quick. He had his friend that speaks excellent English call up to Elton John while he spoke, while the prankster spoke Russian in the background, saying that he was actually Vladimir Putin speaking Russian through his interpreter, and the interpreter was saying the words. Elton was speaking to the interpreter.
That's a pretty sophisticated prank.
Convinced them all the way through the entire phone call.
By the way, he is the president. He's not the premier.
Oh, president.
Prior to that, he's been the president twice for long periods of time.
He
was the prime minister for a while as well.
Right.
Yeah, he's whatever he wants to be.
Yeah. Today, I am premier. Tomorrow, I am Elton John fan.
Da.
Yes.
Bring me vodka.
Tomorrow I break watermelons between thighs.
I will crush Obama.
Elton John has come out and said that he realizes that thinking that Vladimir Putin called him about that issue was probably a pie in the sky thought.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, well. Hindsight is 20/20. Mm-hmm. And so wherever you go, when there's a big city, there's going to be some kind of diplomatic mission somewhere. And you see this fancy house. It's a mansion somewhere in a nice neighborhood. And it says ambassador to South Korea.
And it always goes, these guys have always got hot cars, hot girls, big limos, taking them all over the place.
And they don't, they're not citizens of the United States, they're citizens of their country, and that diplomatic mission is, in essence, it is a sovereign land for whatever country those diplomats come from.
They say that that's it's supposed to be like that. So these guys think these were two guys that rented a Ferrari from a company called Ferrari La Ferrari in Beverly Hills.
Right.
And there was a Ferrari, a yellow Ferrari, and a Porsche 911. I think it was like it's like they got so many numbers and letters after 911 now I can't remember. I think it's GT3 something.
Yeah, right.
And these guys were bombing it through Beverly Hills.
Wow. And you can't do that on any day because you're either on a skinny street or you're on a main drag and there's stoplights every 10 feet.
And not only that, everybody in Beverly Hills is rich, so when you call the police, they show up in like a minute.
Yeah, there's plenty of police around also.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, they're there. So these guys are tooling through the neighborhood, and the guy slams on the brakes and crashes through, you know, like a bus stop.
Yeah.
One of those little things that you're sitting at with the, mm-hmm. we were talking about it the other day. With
we keep the bums off of them.
And so at any rate, the police come, obviously they take him, and the guy says right off the bat, you can't keep me in detention because I have diplomatic immunity.
Right.
All right? So, it turns out they let him go.
Yeah.
You know, now they're checking into it because he evidently doesn't have diplomatic
immunity. Oh, really?
He got away with it. So he had the accent, he had the looks, he had the whole thing, and he was probably authoritative.
And he was,
sounding.
From what I hear, he was a jerk about it,
he
too.
He was a terrible jerk about it, which probably impressed the Beverly Hills police even more because, you know, there's a lot of jerks up there.
Right. Is this the story where the guy said, I could kill you and get away with it?
I could kill you and get away with it.
Oh, really?
Right out of the
Times. That's what he said?
That's what he said.
That's pushing it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, maybe it's right. And if that's the case, or the diplomatic immunity thing, maybe it's not a
good... No, it is the case. I've seen Lethal Weapon, too. And I'm pretty sure that's the plot of that movie.
All right, so here's the kicker, okay?
Yeah.
This guy named Jalopnik, who calls himself a video journalist. It's a guy standing out there with an iPhone 6 taking pictures of all of this. He's spoken to the Beverly Hills Police Department and the owner of the Ferrari, who's rumored to be a part of Qatar's royal family. See?
Oh, sounds like immunity to me.
He does not have diplomatic immunity at all, and he has cleared out his $10 million rented home and disappeared.
Of course. There, okay, diplomatic immunity right here. Hey, there's a 22-year-old woman in Australia. She recently caught her boyfriend cheating, and he agreed to let her punish him. By touching a hair straightener to his junk.
He agreed to that?
She gripped it for several seconds, and he ended up with third-degree burns, and the judge, you know how those things work? You open them up, and you grip on the hair, and it curls you?
Ouch.
Anyway, several seconds. The judge sentenced her to 18 months of probation. Another woman scorned here. The woman in Florida was arguing with her boyfriend about their living arrangement. It turned physical, and she smacked him in the face with a pooper scooper.
That's just gross.
That's just wrong, too. And she was arrested for battery.
Play Alex again, please.
No, I can't. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I can play Alex right now. Ready?
Let's see. What is the love ballad of Turd Ferguson?
That'll do it for today's program. Reach out to us on Twitter at Faf Show or on Facebook. You can leave us a voicemail on our website. Look for the blue tab. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who forgot to show up. For Ted, for Chris, and all the friends, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.